It's Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station FM 107.1. As we are wrapping things up for Thanksgiving and heading into the Christmas holidays, I know that both our program directors here, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, have a lot to share with us as we get into the holiday season. And of course, to remind you, the program brought to you by Harvell and Collins. Don't hesitate to give them a call, 252 area code 726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, please, harvellandcollins.com. And as we begin the program, a happy post-Thanksgiving to you, Cecil, and to you, Wes, as well.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Yes. Thank you, Lockwood. Lockwood, before we went live, you and I and Wes were talking about this holiday period, these couple, 2-3 weeks here that we have before we celebrate Christmas, and then a week before, then a week to New Year's. And yes, absolutely. Most families during these weeks, Lockwood, as you mentioned, you're the one who brought this subject to the forefront, most families have an opportunity to be together. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing better than when we are together with our families for there to be some discussion concerning our planning of our estate. And of course, what does that mean? That means, you know, a will, a power of attorney, a health care. Wes and I would like to kind of decipher and say, really, why do you need these things? What is it about, you know, a health care power of attorney, for instance, that we need? Why do we need that, Lockwood? And so not only is it a great time of the year to be together with our families and maybe bring up these discussions if we can, Wes and I, by the way, Lockwood, encourage these discussions. Mm-hmm. I get it coming from both directions. Sometimes clients will say, no. I'm just not going to have these discussions with my children. They're just going to have to wait and see what mom and I have done, because we're just not going to bring up these mm-hmm. subjects. And of course, we have to respect that decision. But as a lawyer, discussion is a good thing, so that there are not surprises, particularly if there is a tweak in your file, if there is some caveat with your planning, you know, that a particular property is going to a particular child mm-hmm. to the exclusion of the other children. It certainly is nice if beneficiaries can hear these unusual circumstances from their parent before their parent dies versus finding it out for the very first time through their estate documents. Right. So discussion, we encourage it, but we have to respect those that choose not to have these discussions, but we do encourage it, Lockwood. So let's pause there a minute and go into this in kind of a beginning at the end and work back to the beginning. Just yesterday, I was on the phone for a long time with a lady. She's coming in, I think, today or tomorrow. She's been married for 50-plus years. Her husband and she do not have powers of attorney, and she now, her husband, has had a significant setback with dementia mm-hmm. and has become difficult and has become angry mm-hmm. and is not conforming to a treatment plan outlined for him by either his doctor, and now even it has become somewhat of an institutional issue. And of course, what ended up happening is that the medical facilities, the nursing care facilities are, well, we can't hold your husband here against his will, and you do not have any legal authority to keep him here. And he, of course, is stating that he's going to walk out the door. Well, Lockwood, you know, in comes two issues. Number one is a health care power of attorney. Right. Because if these folks had a grant of authority relative to their health care, and this gentleman had appointed his wife, then his wife would be able to put that document on record with the facility. And they would most likely begin to honor it if they can, because she has the legal authority in writing from her husband that she is the agent relative to his care and where he might be laying his head at night. Now, the other side of this coin, as we've discussed, Wes and I, many times in programs, is that if notwithstanding having a health care power of attorney, the client becomes so very adverse to the family, we might be forced to have a judicial guardianship, whereby there's a court order that gives the wife the authority to place her husband. But again, the topic of the day right now, Lockwood, is why do we have these documents? Mm-hmm. That's what Wes wanted to suggest that we discuss. And I began with the health care power. Why do we need that document? Well, here's a perfect example of it. We need a health care power of attorney. We need to appoint an agent in our life to handle our health care issues if we become unable to handle them for ourselves. And if we don't have such a document, then we are going to be forced into a much more involved proceeding known as a guardianship. And this is not a comfortable place for families to be. It requires many times a litigation attorney such as Mr. Collins to go to these hearings, to have depositions relative to the care and support of the husband. And that's the kind of thing we want to avoid. So right out of the gate here, Lockwood, we've been talking about the health care power of attorney and why we need that document.
You know, the health care power of attorney strikes me as also an issue for those children who have reached the age of, and I'll use the term, maturity, where they are perceived to be adults but are still, shall we say, under the umbrella of their parents. Say, for example, children that are at college and things of this nature. Would a health care power of attorney be an appropriate situation for them as well?
Certainly, in the event that you have a child and they're in college and they have a health issue, they're in a car accident or something like that, but they're an adult, then we would certainly hope that child has a health care power of attorney, naming hopefully the parent as the health care agent, so we don't have any confusion or any problem with regard to who has the authority to make decisions regarding their health care. So yes, that would apply, but obviously it becomes more important just kind of in a normal everyday living situation. Obviously, the older we are, the more healthcare issues mm-hmm. may arise. And what we most often think of and what we most often see as it relates to a need for a healthcare power of attorney is, someone who is of an advanced age that may have, memory problems, could have other health problems, could be a stroke, could be, other age-related issues. So it does become more important as we become older, but it's kind of like one of those type things that I often mention on the program and mention in our practice, is that, everything is fine until it's not.
Right.
And we just never know in life when these it's not type situations are going to arise. So, kind of what we wanted to talk about on the program this morning is, Lockwood, before we got on, as Cecil said, live on the radio program, was, kind of stemmed from a story that you brought up with regard to, a living will, healthcare power of attorney, and that led us to want to, here at the beginning of December, when families are spending time together over the holidays, hopefully, to bring up the topic. What kind of estate planning documents do mom and dad need? Does grandma need? Does granddad need? And really, why? Mm-hmm. Why do you need them? And so, Cecil kind of starts us off with a particular story with regard to, a real-life person he spoke with on the phone yesterday, where if the healthcare power of attorney was put in place previously as part of an estate plan, then this lady would not need his assistance right now. It would have already been taken care of. So now we're at a point, and I wasn't involved in that appointment, but one of the issues that comes up in my mind is, okay, I understand that her husband of 50 years is in a care facility, and, maybe he's being combative, he's being adverse. She doesn't have authority to make decisions. We've got kind of a dynamic now going between the family and the facility and then the husband, and it's something that if we had that health care power of attorney, we most likely would have avoided all of that. But then it kind of, if he's being adverse right now, is he going to be willing to sign a health care power of attorney?
Right.
So that's the reason why, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, why didn't we sit down, you know, when everyone had all their wits about them and their clarity in their mind and their thought processes, and put in place an estate plan? Because this family is now at a point where it's, like I was saying, everything fine is fine until it's not. Well, it's kind of appearing as though things are becoming a little bit not fine right now. And so what are we going to do? Well, Mr. Harvell, of course, will mold the clay and put together the best situation for this family. But that best situation will probably not be as clean as it could have been in the event that there was planning years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that healthcare power of attorney was put in place when everybody had 100% clarity about what they wanted to happen, those type things. So I think it's important for folks when they sit down with their family members to have some conversation about, hey, you know, do you, mom and dad, do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a health care power of attorney? Do you have a living will? Of course, folks don't need to remember all of those terms. A lot of times people come in and they say, I need a living will, and they don't really even know what a living will is. You don't need to remember the terms, but this program does help people kind of get, you know, just that baseline education so maybe they can talk intelligently about it with their family members. But that's kind of like the most basic thing. That's where we start. Where, you know, if a family comes in and they want to get their estate plan in place so that they plan and they don't have a problem when things, you know, kind of crop up in life and everything is set for, so we don't have complexity legally, because complexity legally in adverse situations equals expense.
Right.
And we'd like to avoid expense, because putting a plan in place is not very expensive at all if everybody's on the same page. Everyone has capacity. Everyone knows, you know, what we're doing. But having to go through that process in an emergency type situation, like the situation that Cecil brought up, or in a situation where the person maybe doesn't have the capacity anymore to sign the document, mm-hmm. or maybe is unwilling to sign documents because of, you know, his lack of capacity and maybe his confusion and being a little bit, you know, combative about the circumstance. You know, getting all of that put in place at a time where, you know, everybody has their wits about them and everything is clear is much better. But kind of the baseline on that, just to hit these real quickly again, and then we can talk about why you need these and maybe some of the things that come up in life and how these documents just make it so much easier when these issues come up. Just the baseline is, of course, a will. And real quickly, a will is, you know, of course, the document's going to indicate how your assets are going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Very importantly, it's going to indicate who your executor is. That's the person who's going to handle the administration of your estate upon death. Next, and we can come back to these and talk about more details in a second. Next is a durable power of attorney or power of attorney regarding financial matters.
Okay.
That's in the event that we have we're in a situation where maybe we've lost capacity, or maybe we're in a car accident, mm-hmm. or there's some health issue, and someone needs to take care of a financial matter. It could be one of many, many things. It's not just always paying bills. It could be paying bills, but it could be, you know, something as important as, you know, someone stole money from dad or from granddad,
mm-hmm.
but dad can't do anything about it anymore. Because he doesn't have the capacity to do it. Well, guess what? The power of attorney can go deal with that situation and protect the rights of dad. That's just one of thousands of rights a power of attorney agent would have. Next is what we've hit on thus far. First, we got the will, the power of attorney, then we have the health care power of attorney. That we've already talked about that a little bit. That's for health care decisions. Next is the living will. which is a document specific to North Carolina, and all these really are specific to North Carolina, but this is more of a document that comes directly out of the statute with regard to the particular language that deals with the end-of-life condition, Lockwood, so that if we're in an end-of-life condition, then the medical providers, the family, everyone involved in this end-of-life condition knows what the person's desires are, because mm-hmm. if they're in an end-of-life condition, then they're probably not going to be able to communicate about their, whether they want to continue right. to receive nutrition through a feeding tube, you know, for example, whether they want to stay on the machine. So we want to carry out their wishes, and that living will speaks for them in that situation. Finally, is as far as estate planning, is the HIPAA authorization, which is a document that allows any family members to get, or the named family members to get any medical records. And then the next part of this that's important to at least always have a conversation about is to have a plan in place with regard to what happens in the event that mom or dad have to go into a long-term care facility. If they have a significant cognitive issue, maybe they're not safe in the home anymore, maybe the caregiving situation in the home is not good, maybe the recommendation of the doctor is, hey, you know, dad really needs to be in a facility, then as we see every day at Harvell and Collins, incredibly expensive situation. That just has gotten, in my 25 years of practice, is probably 3 or 4 times more expensive now than it was when I started practicing back in the end of the 90s, early 2000s. It's very expensive. So failure to plan in that respect can be very, very costly to a family. So I always put that in the category of, look, need to have this kind of conversation so we know what the law allows us to do
right.
to protect assets. But at the same time, most importantly, make sure that mom or dad are properly taken care of. But that, one of them, let's say that if dad gets sick and ends up in the facility, then mom doesn't end up destitute if she outlives dad for 10, 15, 20 years. So that's kind of the, mm-hmm. a lot of words there, but that's kind of the real baseline conversation. Will, power of attorney, healthcare, power of attorney, living will, HIPAA authorization, and then have conversation with regard to, if you're talking about our law firm, then probably Mr. Harvell or maybe Mr. Foster, maybe me, but I did more of the litigation regarding protecting assets from this very expensive long-term care. Those are very important things to get the plan in place. And I think that, maybe I'll kick it back to Cecil. We could talk a little bit more about the specifics as to things that we see and that come up when we don't have these documents. And also, just basically speaking, if you don't have a will, I would mention very quickly, then the laws of the state of North Carolina will dictate how your assets go. Now, that doesn't mean, some people think, well, that means the state's going to take your assets. That's not what that means. But in many cases, if you're, if you're married and have children upon your death and you don't have a will, your assets are not going to pass the way you want them to, especially if there's a second or third marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So very important to understand. Let's put a plan with regard to the will in place so that we pass our assets and structure them in a way we want them to and don't just fall into the default, which is under North Carolina state law, under our statutes, as to how the state determines those assets will go. So that's a very basic concept, but there's a lot of them that we run into.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. of Harvell and Collins. Just want to remind you, and we're talking about the issue of, well, planning as we get into Christmas season, and do want to remind you, do not hesitate to give them a call. 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, please, harvellandcollins.com. Cecil, you were about to say, I apologize, I just wanted to make that quick note.
Yes, I just, I think that was a terrific overview, Wes. Thank you for that. It was a terrific kind of overview of where we are. I kind of want to go back to something that got mentioned, but I think it's important to put it really out front, is that the cost of having good planning in place is so insignificant compared to the cost of not having planning in place. I mean, this lady yesterday over the phone, of course, at some point she said, you know, well, how much will the guardianship be? What is your estimate of how much does something like that cost? I've never been through that before. Well, of course, she's not ever been through that before. But, you know, Lockwood, it's expensive. It's several thousands of dollars as a result. And the one thing that folks we all have in common is we want to eliminate as much cost as possible. The other thing we have in common is that we want to lessen the delay.
Right.
Well, because there's no documents in place, this nice lady who's, you know, coming in the office now this week without anything after having a 50-year marriage, is going to have delay. It's going to take a month, 2 months, 3 months to pull the guardianship together from start to finish, get it set before the courts, have the hearing, have the information, the medical information that Mr. Collins would need in order to get an order in that file from the clerk. This is not something that happens overnight. And the cost is significant. The cost of a health care power of attorney, along with many of these other documents that Wes mentioned, you know, can be several hundred dollars. So, and can be done within a matter of a couple of weeks. So we avoid excessive cost and we avoid excessive delay. We at Harvell and Collins love what we do, and we are very engaged with our clients. But it is astonishing to sit in our chair and ponder, and I do this many times, you know, at home at the late part of the day, how these problems in a file could have been avoided if these folks had had planning in place. I'm dealing with a file right now, a sweet gentleman, but he was very old, and he came in and tried to put a plan together, and within when we try to move our files very very promptly and within a very reasonable amount of time, and he was scheduled the day that he came in to come back, I think about a week and a half later, he was put up to the top of the list because he was fragile, but he still was scheduled out a few days. Well, lo and behold, he went home and he did not make it, and his son called me a day or two later and told me that his father had passed on. And, of course, now as a result of him not having planning in place, the file has just mushroomed, you know, Lockwood, into, you know, excessive cost, excessive delay, many, many, many problems. And, of course, you know, I ponder, my goodness, if only this gentleman had gotten a will put together. He was 90 years old at the time. But why in the world did he wait so long? Many times Wes and I are asked, can you go to the hospital? Can you go to hospice? Can you go to the home? And we try to do our best to accommodate these circumstances. They are not optimum circumstances. Right, right. We do not many times feel comfortable having documents signed under those kinds of emergency circumstances. That in and of itself can set up a set of problems or issues that Mr. Collins will eventually have to straighten out before a jury. But let's don't delay. I guess that's the point right now of where we are, Lockwood. It's the holiday period. If you have any opportunity as a child, a grandchild, a brother, a sister, to discuss these issues with your family member, maybe now is the time to do that. Seek an attorney out and have these documents prepared. They're worth their weight in gold.
Right.
Another thing that I say, Lockwood, I know I'm just rattling here this morning, but after all these years of experience, is that, you know, how many times do we need to do a will?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to pay our taxes on our house every single year, don't we, Lockwood?
Right. Yes.
We have to pay our homeowner's insurance mm-hmm. every single 6 months or every year, don't
mm-hmm.
we?
Right.
We have to renew our car insurance over and over and over again. You know, the cost of what Wes and I are referring to about estate planning is it can be, you know, less than the taxes on your home,
right.
less than your homeowner's insurance, which, of course, as we all know, has skyrocketed. But yet those costs are things that happen year after year after year after year. A power of attorney, a health care, a nice last will and testament, these are the kind of things that we do, we pay for, and we may never have to do them again.
Mm-hmm.
If we do have to do them again, it might be every 7 years, every 10 years, if at all. So the cost of putting good planning into place, and here we are talking about, you know, our home, our bank accounts,
mm-hmm.
very significant things that we've worked so hard to pay for our entire life. And it just makes a lot of sense to close the close this gap relative to setting up an enormous amount of problems for your family that will end up costing, you know, lots and lots of money and lots of delay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, time, you mentioned the time, and that is a significant issue. That's Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins, and, of course, we were earlier listening to Wes Collins as well. HarvellandCollins.com is the website. I want to remind you of that. We've got a few minutes here. I want to touch on one item, Cecil, that you have mentioned on numerous occasions, and, Wes, you'll probably agree on this, and that is every often when we're talking to our children about this, we're thinking we've got to have it down to the, you know, to the very point, the very everything has to be in order. But you've said in the past, in our conversations, Cecil, you don't have to have everything in perfect order to come in and talk to you about a will, about, for example, a durable power of attorney, but to come in and just initiate the conversation. Am I correct on that? I mean, I don't have to walk in and
exactly
say...
That's exactly correct, because if we wait until everyone has everything, quote, in order,
right.
in their opinion, in order, then, you know, they might not ever get it, quote, in order, in their opinion, and therefore not make the appointment.
Right.
Yet let the professional, let the lawyer lead you through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the process begins with just simply finding out, well, what am I going to need? What do you need, Mr. Harvell? What does your staff need
right.
to put these documents into place? Folks are just incredibly confused about the complexity of what they need to make an appointment. We prefer that they just make the appointment, and then we will help you gather the information. Our staff will talk with your investment advisors if necessary, get your designation of beneficiaries, your life insurance companies, things of this nature. We can pull your deeds off now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our registries are online now, and we're able to get deeds in Craven and Onslow and Jones and many, many, many counties,
mm-hmm.
most all of the counties, frankly, in North Carolina. We even can get information from other states many times. So the key is to begin the process. Let the attorney and his staff, her staff, help you through the process, and don't wait until you think, in your judgment, that you need, that you have, quote, everything in order to make the appointment.
You know, Cecil, as we prepare to wrap things up, and again, we're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins. And this conversation, of course, about estate planning, but I'm going to step and say family planning as well in many regards, Cecil and Wes. But you know, the other aspect of this, and I know this sounds a little trite, but it shouldn't be. That is one gift that we can give our families, and that's particularly the parents, but all of us listening. One of the great gifts we can give to our family members is a good plan, a good estate plan that will prevent a lot of expense, as you just pointed out, Cecil, Wes, that there's a great deal of expense, but also a great deal of time. And this is a great gift. I know that sounds a little weird, but it really is a great gift. Would you both not agree?
I totally agree. And those words are many times expressed in our office and in our conference rooms. Many times parents will turn to each other and say, we are just so thrilled to have all of this in place for our children. We consider it to be, you know, a gift. We consider it to be, you know, their Christmas present this year, that we have all of our affairs in order, and we can't wait to tell them and give them your card, Mr. Harvell, and give them an opening of who to call if God forbid anything were to happen. Much like what Wes just said, everything is fine until it's not fine. And so, absolutely, this is a gift. This is a wonderful thing to do for your loved ones. And on the other hand, Lockwood, the stress and anxiety that I felt yesterday over the telephone with mm-hmm. this dear lady, mm-hmm. whose husband has now had a significant decline, I am sure that she did not sleep a wink last night.
Right.
Okay, you could just tell the anxiety, the level of upset with her. Now, we're going to help her, and we look forward to doing that. But the bottom line is that, you know, she didn't get the gift, did she, Lockwood?
No.
They did not give each other the comfort of knowing that their documents were in order. And I'm not being judgmental. I don't know why. I don't know all of the circumstances. We lawyers never do. And we are not in a place of judgment. But it sure would be nice if this lady at this point had some basic estate planning documents, if she and her husband had put those in place, you know, at some point in the past.
This is a gift that I think our audience should consider giving to their family members. I want to thank Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins. And as we begin the Christmas season, I think this is a great opportunity. It is not as morbid as you may think it is, but I think it's a great opportunity, and it's really a great gift. To Cecil, to Wes, thank you very much for your time this afternoon here on Let's Talk Legal.